for the man who wouldn't let us clean his house out, all that moldy stuff, that was his God. Things were his God. Things that were worthless was his God. And so we're wrapping up Stewardship Month, and this whole month, I think and I hope that I've focused on getting you to think about what God says we should think about. Rather than think about your own things and your own agenda, we should be on God's agenda. So I want everybody to turn to Malachi. Or if you're from Fonzie days, how many remember Fonzie? All right, turn to Malachi. And how many remember Malachi on Fonzie, right? On Happy Days? How cool was that? The cars, man, it was so cool. All right. Just reliving my childhood for a moment. Turn to Malachi, and we're in chapter 3. Malachi is right before Matthew. So if you don't know where it's at, just go to the book of Matthew, which is the first book of the New Testament, and then go back one book or a few pages, because it's a short book. Powerful, but it's short. And so Malachi chapter 3. And we're going to start in verse 6. We're going to read this, but now listen, guys. I'm going to focus on the positive of this. So, excuse me. I don't want you beating yourself up unless God's the one that's doing the beating. Okay. So Malachi chapter 6 or chapter 3. If you're in chapter 6 of Malachi, you're definitely in the wrong book. It only has 4 chapters. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6. We're going to start out. It says. And we're going to go to 12. It says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." Hello? Turn your phones off, please. Service has begun. Watch it be my phone. No! I took it off. Verse 7. "Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances, and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return?" Verse 8. Well, before we get to verse 8, let's look at 6 and 7. Just pause here for a second. Look at what God says here in 6. "For I am the Lord, I do not change." You notice how God's setting the book up. He's setting this thought up, this passage up. He says, "For I am the Lord, and I do not change." And so if God is God and God does not change, and we know that he does not change, his word says that he does not change, who would be the ones that do change? Us. All right, I just want to make sure that you accept responsibility where it belongs. Okay, so he says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change, therefore you are not consumed." He goes, you know what, because I don't change, because I love you, because I am the same yesterday and today and forevermore, and I keep my promises, because you got to remember, God promised to not wipe them out, even though they deserve to be wiped out because of their disobedience, because of their willful neglect. And I say willful because they decided, they made the decision, said, you know what, we're going to serve other gods. We're going to serve Baal, and we're going to serve all these other gods that we have, and we're not going to serve you. And God says, you know what, I promise that I'm going to save you. I promise I'm going to keep you. Therefore, I'm not going to wipe you out. And he says, because I don't change. I keep my promises. Now, this is so important to grab hold of this verse right here to understand. God says, I keep my promises and I do not change. Because when we get down here a little bit farther, if you can't believe that, you're not going to believe the good stuff that we get to. So verse 8, he says, first off, in 7, he says, the people ask, well, how shall we return? In what ways shall we return? Verse 8, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings." And then in 9, look what he says. "Because of that, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts." So he says, okay, listen, you've been unfaithful, you've robbed me, you owe me a tithes, and you owe me the offerings, and yet you rob me, you cheat me of that, and because you do that, You're wrong. And listen, I don't change. I should wipe you out for being disobedient, but I'm not going to wipe you out for being disobedient. And what's amazing is in 8, when they ask, when he says, how have we robbed you? Or in 7, how have we robbed you? He immediately goes to tithes and offerings. I think the reason, guys, listen, again, I'm not going to beat anybody up, so don't walk out feeling like that you just went 10 rounds, but think about this for a second. If we rob God of tithes and offerings, does that not really tell us where our heart is? Does that not really tell us what is important to us or what is more valuable to us? If we rob God of our tithes and offerings, what we're saying essentially is, God, this world, this, and I go like this because it's so small, this world of money operates my life, and it operates my way of thinking, it operates my actions. I build my life around this world right here because this is what consumes me, owns me, and this is what I focus on is my money. And God says, you know what? When that happens, you kill the relationship because you're so focused on this little bit, and God says, I want to give you this. I want to give you all of this. But because you can't see past this, You can't see all this. It's kind of like if you're standing outside and it's really a cloudy day and you can't see the sun because of the clouds. You guys have been there, right? You're looking up and you go, man, I'd love for the sun to shine down. It would change the temperature probably dramatically and warm it up, and the sun would be so nice and so pretty, but we can't see it for the clouds. Well, you can't see all God wants to give you because you're in the cloud. You know, for example, the stars. Man, how many look out? I love seeing, and you got to get out of the city. You got to get out into the country where there's no lights and what they call light pollution. And if you turn the lights off and you're in a dark, dark place in the country and you look up, the stars are amazing. I mean, they are breathtaking. But if it's a foggy night, you don't see the stars. If there's too much light, say you're in downtown Albany, and you try to look up and see the stars, you just see a little star here and there, don't you? But then you drive out of the city and you get to where there's no lights, and all of a sudden it's the same sky, but it's unbelievable. And you look up and you see the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper, and you see the North Star and all this stuff, and you're in awe of it. You're, wow, God, that is so beautiful. By the way, God is a God that does not change. And he, do you realize that he has named all the stars? He knows all the stars. Millions and millions and millions, and he knows all the stars. Think about that. And yet we're more important than they are, because there's going to be a day when they don't exist. And I think what happens is when we get focused on this little world that we create, because we're so focused, we got to do it ourselves, we got to make our own money, we got to do our own things, we got to save, we got to do, and we need to do all of that. But if we get so focused on that we leave God out, then we miss the stars. And God says, man, I got so much more for you, but you got to get out of your little box. And you got to trust me. And that's what he's talking about here. He says, you know what? You've robbed me, and the only thing you've done is cheat yourself. God says, I'm going to move on. I'm going to keep doing what I do because I'm God. I don't change. I have an agenda. I have a job to do, and I'm going to keep doing my job. And the only one that's going to get cheated is you, because you don't trust me. If you don't trust me, you kill the relationship. How many here would have a relationship with somebody that you couldn't trust? Yeah. And so God's saying, listen, you don't trust me, and that's why you don't have the relationship. Not because I've changed or I've went away, but it's because you don't trust me, and therefore because you don't trust me, you've killed the relationship. And you want it all on your terms. And God says, it doesn't work that way. So then he goes on, he says, okay, you've robbed me, but I want you to see in 10, he says, you've robbed me and you've been cursed. But, listen, here's what I want you to do. I want you to bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And then he says this, try me now in this. Try me. Test me. It's the only place in Scripture where God says, test me. Prove me. Try me. Listen, I'm D-double-dog daring you to step out and do something here. We were on the way back from the city. We stopped at OCC Cafe. And got one of their burgers, and I just, man, everyone works so hard. I wanted to treat them to something good, and I know their burgers were good, so we stopped in there and got a hamburger, and then after we ate, we went out and we were looking at all the bikes, and Jesse, who knows who Jesse James is? Not the one that's dead, but the one that's alive that has outlaw cars, whatever. He built Senior a car, a hot rod, a beautiful car, and it's sitting in the showroom, and it's got the thing around it, you know, so you'll stay away from it or not get in it, you know what I'm saying? And so Brian, who's a troublemaker, he's not here today, so I'll talk about him. He said, Pastor? And I go, yeah. And he goes, takes his wallet out. And he goes, I'll give you $20 if you get in that car and start it. I go, dude, do I look like a kid? I'll do it for 50. And so... At any rate, I opened up the car, but there were no keys in it. I go, man, I can't, you know, I'm not going to get in it. There's no keys. I'm not going to start it. And so, anyway, I'm kidding. But we had a lot of fun with that. And you know, the thing is, God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to step out and do something really crazy here. And I want you to tempt me. I want you to try me. I want you to test me. When it comes to your God being your money, I want you to get past that, and I want you to reach out and go, okay, God, you know what? I'm going to make you my God, and I'm going to test you in this. You say you haven't changed. You say you'll bless me. Okay, I'm going to test you. It's the only place in Scripture where God says to try him, to test him. Isn't that, now to me, that's offensive. It's not offensive that God says to test me. It's offensive that we actually go, okay, God, I don't believe you, so I'll stick my neck out there for a little time and I'll see if you're really real. To me, that's offensive to my God. But yet, he says to do it, so I don't want to get in the way of his challenge. And now look what he says here. In verse 10, he says, try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, and see if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be enough room to receive it. In other words, what he's saying is, because, you know, I've had some people go, well, if he's going to pour out so much blessing that I can't receive it all, what good is it if I can't get it? But that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, if you trust me and you try me now and you listen, all I want you to do is to trust me with what's mine, and that's the tithe, and your first, and your possessions, because in other words, he says, let me have them. Not that you got to give it all away, he's only asking for a tenth, a tithe, but his possessions that he's talking about, or the possessions he's talking about, are the ones that you hold so dearly. And he says, try me in this, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bless you so much, not that you can't receive it all, but I'm going to bless you so much that you'll not have a need. All your needs will be satisfied. And you go, God will really do it. By the way, this is not prosperity preaching. This is Word of God teaching. There's a difference. Don't get lost in that. What he's saying is, if you test me, because God says, listen, I'm a debtor to no man. I owe no man anything. God says he owns everything in the world. So everything is his. And he's just entrusting us as being a good steward of what he has. And what he's given us to have. And he says, here's what I want to do. I want to bless you so much that you won't be able to, listen, you'll have no need. You'll be satisfied with everything you have. I like being satisfied. I don't know about you guys. I like to eat. And I went on a diet for a while. I lost some weight, got to feeling really good, and then realized I missed really good food. So I went back to eating. And We went out to eat, and here's my thing, is because I don't like to sit at the table and just keep picking. So what I do is I eat, I'm done, take my plate away, or if I'm at home, I eat, I'm done, I get up from the table. Because let's face it, the longer you sit there, the more you eat, right? Okay, so I sat down and ate, and all of a sudden the whole table's staring at me. I'm going, well, everything. Is there something wrong with me? Because everybody's going, Pastor, I ate my burger. Everybody's eating their burger. What's up with it? We've never seen anybody eat so fast. I like to eat, but I like to get it done and be done and go on. And so everybody's still sitting there eating. I'm done with my burger. But you know what I was? I was satisfied. I was full. It was good. Matter of fact, it was very good. But I was satisfied. Have you ever eaten something or have done something and you're just so satisfied that you have no need, no desire, no want? You're just so content at that moment? That's what God's talking about here. He says, trust me, try me, and I will put you. I will give to you in such a way that you'll no longer be desirous. You'll absolutely be content. Paul says that he was content whether to be abased or abound. In other words, whether to have be poor, or to have riches. He was content in all things because God was his Lord. And that's what he's talking about here. If you trust him with everything, you will be absolutely content, whether you're poor or you're rich. He says you'll be absolutely content because, like he says in Matthew chapter 6, 25 through 32, 33, 35 actually it goes to, I'll give you everything you need. Yeah, I know what you need. I created you. I know what satisfies you. And I'll give that to you, but you got to trust me. You got to have that relationship with me because I can't bless you if you don't let me in. I can't bless you if you don't trust me. You know, as America and parents and we're in a place where we give things to people who don't deserve it. I mean, we're just so out of balance. It's not even funny. I'll give you a beautiful example. Down in the city, we did this lady's house, and she owned the house, but she rented the bottom floor of what would be the basement to a tenant. Well, you know, the water came in and it hit the bottom floor and it hit the second floor, but the third floor was okay, and she had a three-story house. And it was a walkout basement. It wasn't like you had to climb the stairs. And FEMA came in and gave the owner $6,000 for the second floor and gave the tenant $10,000 for the basement. Now, the owner's got to fix the whole house. The tenant gets $10,000 for their discomfort and their damage. The owner gets nothing. And then the tenant's crying to us while we were there, oh, I don't know where I'm going to sleep tonight. Make a pillow out of your 10 grand, lay on it. I mean, that's how you feel because you know what? She got what she didn't deserve. The owner is stuck having to fix the whole house and got less than the one who just lost some furniture. Not content. Just struggling. And God says, you know what? Listen. No matter where you're at, if you trust me, no matter what's going on in your life, you'll be content. We did meet people that know Jesus down there. They're very few and far between. And they witnessed it working at the relief center where they come in and go, I don't like this coat, man. It's the wrong color. And they'd throw it down. Or this one doesn't look new enough. It's got a scuff mark on it. And they'd throw it down and they keep looking like they're looking for a $300 coat, their size, their color, their specifics. And so they're going through this stuff. And then here comes a lady who, and when I was there, this happened. A lady who come up, and here's what she wanted. She wanted some toiletries, a toothbrush, some toothpaste, and so they gave it to her. And there was a little bottle of mouthwash, Scope or whatever it was. And she looked at it, and I was standing at the table. As a matter of fact, I was handing out the stuff there. And she looked at it, and she come up. And she said, can I have that? And I go, "This the bottle of mouthwash?" She goes, yeah. I go, absolutely, you can have it. I mean, so humble, such a humble spirit. So she takes it. She goes, praise Jesus, thank you. Thank you. And I go, is there anything else you need? No, this is all. Thank you, you're so kind. And as I'm thinking about this, and I thought, wow, what a humble spirit. Not taking, and there were people who were loading things up, and here's what they were doing. And we witnessed this. They would go to the relief center, and they would have this cart or these big bags, and they'd fill them all up, and they'd go around to the corner, and they'd throw it in their car. We had people coming from inland, coming out to these relief centers, loading up their cars with stuff, and yet they would send somebody else from the same family around to the same relief center. They would load up with even more, bring it out, and load the car. And then this one would go to another relief area and load up. And next, they're going out like our van did. And then here's this little lady who was so humbled and appreciative of just getting some mouthwash. She was content. She lost everything she had, but she had Jesus, so she had everything she needed. Isn't it amazing? And we get so off kilter. And what God is saying here, when he says in this right here, listen, if you test me, and if I'm your God, and you try me in this now, listen, see if I'm going to lie to you. I want you to test me. Go out on a limb for me. He says, listen, if I am your God, you depend on me 100%, and I won't let you down. But if I am not your God, then guess what? You're never going to be content. You're never going to be full. You're never going to be satisfied. You're always going to be searching. $100 isn't enough, because then when you get the 100, you need 1,000. 1,000 is enough because you need 10,000. And you know what? This clothing isn't enough. You need more clothing. And you know what? I need a coat to keep warm in, because I don't have no electric, but I need a coat to look good in too when a day is not so cold. We're never satisfied. And he says, you know what? That's what this open up windows of heaven and pour out blessings on you and so much you can't receive it all. You will be content and satisfied with everything I give you, because you realize you have everything you need. It's an amazing thing. But the question is he your God that you can trust? No, is he your God? Because if he is, you can trust him. See, it's all in the way we look at it. Let's move on. So he says here in 11, not only why, if you trust me, not only am I going to open up these windows of heaven and pour out blessings on you, you can't receive it all. Look here in 11. He says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Now look what he says here. Here's a promise. Listen, you trust me, I'll rebuke the devourer. You know, I've said before, my cars, you know, I have, my truck's got 220,000 on it. My van before it broke down had 200,000 on it before we replaced it. My motorcycle's got 50 some thousand on it. All of them are 1999 and, you know, that was a year we just kind of went crazy on that year, didn't we? And so all this, but my truck keeps running and running and running. I mean, God, the Dottons, theirs has 350,000 on it. No, not quite. Let me have my glory. 350,000 on it.
Yeah, but I'm going to celebrate when it turns 300. It's going up here pretty
high. Oh, is it 300? I thought you were like 320, 330. Okay. 300, 290-something, 300,000. That's with the rust from the salt, and you know what? It still runs. I honestly believe that that's God's hand on it. You know, I hear people say, well, it broke down, blah, and I look at mine, which should have broken down. My minivan, 200,000 miles on it, I never replaced anything in the front end in 200,000. No ball joints, no tie rod ends, nothing. So some of you go, what does that mean? It means that normally that goes out at about 105, 110,000 to 200,000. It still was as tight as the day it was new. I believe, without question, That's the windows of heaven. That's God rebuking the devourer. That's God allowing it to go farther than it should. And it doesn't even make sense. And people go, I've had people literally go, you're lying to me. There's no way you got 200,000. I'm telling you, I've not touched the front end. The rust is minimal. And when it did break down, God supplied a new one. It was right there. Why? Because he rebukes the devourer. He takes care of us if he's our God. And it goes for anything and everything. Man, you know, realize when the Israelites were walking in the wilderness for 40 years. Now listen to me. For 40 years they walked in the wilderness. Do you realize their sandals never wore out? They never had to go buy new shoes. Now I know for some of you that would be heart failure. What? The same shoe the next day? A week? Oh. I mean, I got boys in here that are crazy over shoes. I'm not going to tell you how Nick can look at a pair of shoes at a mile away and tell you the brand, how good they are, bad they are. Look, he's so good, he'll look at it and tell you what size it is. Man, I always wanted a pair like that. Oh, they're only 9.5. Oh. And the people are going, what? How'd he know? Man, they're in the shoes. Their sandals didn't wear out. Why? Because God is on the throne and he is in control. Everybody found that shoe story funny but Nick. I'm just saying. All right. Why? He is, because it's true. But listen, God is in control. And he says, listen, it won't wear out. I will rebuke the devourer. I'll keep it longer than it should. I'll bless you. Why? Because your thoughts, your mind, your heart is focused on him and what he wants rather than what you and what you want. And God says, for that, man, I'll open up these windows of heaven. I'll bless you because I can trust you. And I will keep what you have. Gosh, man, am I the only one who got excited about that? Look here. 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for whose sake? For ours. God says, you trust me. You trust me. Look what I'm going to do for you. Look here in 11. He goes on. So that he, who is he? Satan, the devourer. That's who he's talking about. So that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field. He's saying, listen, I'll bless what you do. I won't let Satan in on it. And you go, well, does God really allow Satan? Absolutely. Look here, for the sake of time, we can't do it. But if you go back to Job, Job went to God. God says, what are you doing? Not asking as in a curiosity way, but just asking him. I don't know. Why did Jesus always ask the questions he knew the answers to? That's what God does. What are you doing? And Satan says, I'm going up and down the earth looking for somebody to devour. God says, have you considered Job? And Satan says, oh, yeah, you mean the one that you've been protecting and giving everything to? What does he have want or need for? And God says, hey, and then Satan challenges God and says, well, you know what? If you took away everything he had, he'd curse you to your face. And there's some of you here today that if God took away everything you had or Satan took away everything you had, you'd curse God to his face. And God told Satan, okay, you can touch anything he's got, but you can't touch him. You leave Job alone, but you can take all of his possessions and do with them whatever you want. And then he comes back the next time, and God says, okay, or Satan says, okay, that didn't work. So, you know what? But I'll bet you if you cursed him with a disease, he'll curse you to your face. And God says, okay, you can do anything you want to Job, but you can't kill him. See, Satan is only allowed to do what God allows him to do, which shows that God is on the throne and he is the God over everything and everybody, everything in existence. And everything has to fall into his authority, except for us. Isn't that really crazy? Even Satan falls under God's authority, but God has given us a free will. He has given us the option of choice. Isn't that amazing? Why would he do that? Because he says, if you love me, you'll choose me. If you don't love me, you won't choose me. And so therefore, that's how we're going to divide the spoils right there. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you don't love me, you're going to keep your own commandments. You're going to do what you want to do. See, God has left it open for us. But here's what he says here. Listen, I will make sure that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. I will make sure that Satan is put at bay and can't hurt you or touch you. Think about that, guys. These are God says, if you trust me, this is how I'm going to bless you. If I'm your God. Well, then he goes on. Look here in 12, and I'm finishing up with this verse. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. If you trust God, the people are going to look at you and go, wow, they're blessed. There's something different about them. Wow, look at that. Why is it that when trouble comes, they have all this peace? Because they're totally satisfied. Why are they totally satisfied? Because they trust God. Why do they trust God? Because they have the relationship with Him. Why do they have the relationship with Him? Because they spent time on their knees and in the Word of God building the relationship because it meant more to them than anything else. See, everything we have is because of what we do. God's, and you go, well, you know what? The people didn't ask for Sandy. Nope, they didn't ask for Sandy. But you know what they're getting? They're getting the love of God. They're getting the compassion of God. They're getting to see God at work through the feeding centers and the people that are coming down and serving them and helping them. And this, I'm going to be honest with you, the most frustrating thing to me about this whole, every time I go down into the city, we go to Rockaway Beach, I watch these teenagers and these 20-somethings, and they're walking around with those fancy shoes on and the nice coats and their britches down to their knees, and they're walking and they got the iPod and their earplugs in, and they're walking up and down these streets while everybody is coming in serving them and helping them and giving to them. All they want to do is take, and they won't even get their hands dirty to do anything. It is so frustrating to me. But I got to remember, I'm not there for them, I'm there for God. And God's going to do with whatever we do, and He's going to affect whoever He... Because have you ever noticed that you aim to try and help somebody because you want to change their life, but it ends up somebody else sees it and changes that person's life and never touches the one that you actually thought you were going to change their life? That's what you look at. God, You're in control, and You're going to move how You move, where You move, and no matter what happens, You stay faithful. Because your decision to love God or not to love God will be your decision to serve God, to build a relationship, to be obedient. I'm going to tell you, obedience is the key to success. If you're not obedient, don't expect blessings. God everywhere says, I'll do this if you do this. I'll do this when you do that. I'll move when you move. But we've become such a spoiled group of people that we go, I'm not moving until you give it to me. Well, then I guess you're stuck. Isn't that what happens? So guys, I'm telling you, God wants to bless you. He wants to pour it out abundantly on you. But whether you receive the blessing is up to you. Because it's going to depend on if you're obedient. That's going to determine it. Are you obedient? Do you love God or do you love your things? You know, we call today All Tithers Sunday. If you never tithed before and you never plan on tithing again, we want you to tithe today. Not because we want your money, but because I want to see God's hand on your life. The decision is yours. Let's go to Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You and love You. And Lord, I just ask Your hand would be on this, on the rest of this service, Lord, on each and every one of us. And Lord, more than anything, Lord, I pray. Lord, I pray that we make You our God. That we don't get caught up in things that can disappear tomorrow. Lord, that we don't get caught up in focusing on everything else, Lord, hoping that You'll tag along with us. But Lord, that we seek Your face, Lord, and we constantly seek to be where You're at, doing what You want us to do. Lord, help us to see that these promises that You've given, Lord, where You'll open up the windows of heaven, Lord, where You will rebuke the devourer, Lord, where You will help us to prosper and grow if we trust You. Lord, there's so many that don't trust You today. May that change. Lord, may that change because they make a conscious decision to change their way of thinking and their way of doing things from themselves to doing it for You. Lord, I thank You and I love You. In Jesus' name.